Good morning, early risers. Welcome to the 72nd annual conference of the Ogden Surgical Medical Society, the joy of medicine. We really appreciate you being here. We hope you enjoy your breakfast. Go ahead, continue grabbing your breakfast and eating. I have a bunch of announcements I'd like to go through, and then I'll introduce a couple of speakers for this morning. My name is Kurt Reifelman. I'm a family practice doctor here in Ogden, and I'm honored to be able to preside at these meetings this year. At 10 o'clock today, we'll have a fascinating speaker. Her name is Gerda Saunders. She's a professor, PhD down at the University of Utah, and has written a book titled Telling Who I Am Before I Forget, Field Notes on My Dementia. She has written a book regarding her own journey through dementia as she realized that her memory is failing. I think she has multi-infarct dementia or a vascular dementia. She will afterwards at 11 o'clock after her speech be out in the lobby for a book signing if you'd like to get her book and have her sign it. During the same time that she's speaking in this room, right next door, there will be a poster presentation from undergraduate and also postgraduate graduate level students. There's a competition. We'd ask you to take a few moments to walk through and see those posters and actually vote. There'll be a piece of paper and you can vote for your favorites. There's, I think, a money award for those that win. Today at noon, Patch Adams will be visiting us and will speak from this pulpit. He will be here from 12 to 2, a two-hour speech apparently that he's going to give us that we're looking forward to. At 2 o'clock, he'll be in the lobby also, willing to sign his books. He's written two wonderful books about the joy of medicine. At 2:30, 15 lucky physicians and PAs and NPs will have the opportunity to go with Patch to the local hospitals and to watch him and to help him do his shtick as he helps to brighten the lives of a couple of the patients here in town. Interestingly enough, while that van is taking Patch to the different hospitals and the speakers are up here giving their talks, we will cut in from time to time and you'll be able to see what he's doing at the local hospitals. I think they're gonna do FaceTime Live so we can watch that. Those that have been invited or that have paid their way into going with Patch Adams this afternoon, please meet at 2:30 for sure in bright clothing in the lobby. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we invite everybody to the McKay D Family Physician Picnic at the Dinosaur Park in downtown Ogden. If you need instructions, ask anybody at the tables out there on how to get there. But from 6 to 8:30 tonight, there will be a big party sponsored by our local hospital, McKay D, at the Dinosaur Park. I would like to invite you Thursday night, tomorrow night, to come back here for dinner. It's sponsored by Ogden Regional Hospital, and somehow my name's attached to that, but in truth, it's going to be a fun evening in honor of my wife. My wife is from Peru, and I've chosen to have some typical dance and music from Peru to be the entertainment. So there'll be some lively South American music with a wonderful dinner tomorrow night, and I invite everyone to come to that. Friday evening, the last evening of our conference, we've established a tradition with Davis Medical Center to go to the Layton Hills Mall and the aquarium there, which is a fascinating venue in a mall, will be open to all members and immediate families of this conference. So please feel free to come Friday evening to the Layton Hills Mall to go to the aquarium at no charge for you and your immediate family members. We have wonderful vendors and supporters at the conference this year. The lobby, the hallway, the back hallway is full of those vendors and those sponsors. I'll call your attention to one. We have what's called a Medical Mission Cafe, and we've invited a lot of different groups that take or sponsor medical missions, 1 week and 2 week missions around the world to come and to meet you. So please take the time to meet those leaders of the medical missions and see if there might be something in your future with them. We would ask you to be conscious of your cell phones. Mine I cannot turn off, and a lot of you can't turn it off because we still have call and duties, but please make sure there's silence during these meetings. I would really like to take a moment to read the name of our sponsors. Our partners, our most generous sponsors, include the Ogden Clinic down the road, UMA Financial Services, Ogden Regional Medical Center, the National Kidney Foundation, Davis Hospital and Medical Center, and this wonderful venue, Weber State University. I'd ask for a round of applause each morning for them, please. We also have a list of wonderful sponsors, and as tedious as it may seem to you, it's important to me for these names to be read because they've made this opportunity possible and they've really kept the cost down for us. So I'd like to read the 2018 sponsors. The Cache Valley area, Chad Gonzalez, MD, Child Richards, CPAs and Advisors, the Circle of Life Women's Center, the Country Hills Eye Center, Davis Hospital and Medical Center, a Stewart Family Hospital, Douglas and Shelley Felt Family Foundation, the Edith D. Green Foundation, EPIC, Emergency Physicians, Integrated Care at Ogden Regional Medical Center, Fresenius, Gilbert Calloway, MD, Harlow B. Rigby Charitable Trust, Health Insight, Intermountain Medical Group, Weber North Davis, the Lawrence T. and Janet T.D. Foundation in memory of William Riley Brown, MD, the Lawrence T. and Janet, I'm not going to repeat that, McKady Hospital, McKady Surgery Center and Orthopedics, McKay ENT, Michael Schuler, MD, and Alexander Ramirez, MD, the National Kidney Foundation of Utah and Idaho, Northern Utah Surgeons, Steve Carabine, Joe Hansler, Robert C. Mosinger, and Victor Varela, Ogden Clinic, Ogden Regional Medical Center, Ralph Ritz, MD, Spencer S. and Hope Fox Eccles family, Stephen F. Johnson, MD, Joyce Johnson Stillwell and Val B. Johnson, MD, in memory of Vernal H. Johnson, MD, the Stewart Education Foundation, Summit Physician Specialists, Tanner Clinic, UMA Financial Services, UMIA, Utah Emergency Physicians at McKD, Utah Hematology Oncology, PC, Utah Medical Association Foundation, Val A. Browning Foundation, Virgil J. Parker, MD, Weber County ENT Physicians, Douglas K. Anderson, MD, Nadim B. Bikazi, MD, and Stuart Barlow, MD. Weber State University College of Science, Weber State University Dumpke College of Health Professions, Weber State University Department of Athletic Training and Nutrition, Weber State University Department of Health Sciences, Weber State University Department of Medical Laboratory Sciences, Weber State University Department of Radiologic Sciences. These are the groups and sponsors that have made this conference possible, and I'd ask for a round of applause for them. Thank you very much. It's now my pleasure to be able to introduce Dr. Barb Trask, who has a few words for us. Following her completion of her BS in biology at Southern Illinois University in Edwardsville, Illinois, Dr. Trask worked for Monsanto Company's Health Science Division for over 6 years. Working in the biotech industry sparked her interest in basic research, resulting in her leaving the industry to pursue her doctoral degree. She earned that PhD in molecular cell biology from WashU in St. Louis in 99. After completing two postdoctoral fellowships studying molecular mechanisms behind pulmonary disorders, Dr. Trask was hired to teach in the Department of Zoology at Weber State University. Her teaching load was reduced in 2008 when she assumed the role of the university's pre-medical advisor. She now continues to advise pre-med and pre-dental students, but also serves as the associate dean for the College of Science since 2013. Please welcome Dr. Trask to the podium.
Good morning, how are you? So As a university who's committed to educating our students, we've been fortunate in having developed a relationship with the Ogden Surgical and Medical Society, an organization that's also committed to educating our community's clinical practitioners. So we're very pleased to welcome you this morning and to support the Ogden Surgical and Medical Society by sponsoring this breakfast. While you enjoy your breakfast, the organizers of this conference have asked or given me the opportunity to talk a little bit about our Dr. Ezekiel R. Dumke Family Premedical Professional Program. So I'm going to do that. As the Associate Dean of the College of Science and as a pre-medical advisor for over 9 years at the university, I feel versed in being able to do this. So a number of students in the College of Science are hoping or setting their sights on attending some sort of graduate medical or other professional training program. The College of Science is one of the smallest colleges on Weber State University's campus. We have the university itself has about 18,000 undergraduate students. The College of Science represents about 6.5% of that, with about 1,155 students. About half of those students are interested in earning degrees in biochemistry, zoology, or microbiology. And of those students, a large proportion of them, and you see here about 350 or so of those students, have indicated that they hope to pursue a medical education. We have about 10 times more students who are interested in going to medical school than going to dental school. We also have a large number of students who are interested in attending physician assistant school, and you can see that on this slide. Even though we have over 300 or so students who say that they're going to attend medical school, not all of them will eventually. We have roughly just over an average of 40 students who are applying to medical school every year. Not all of those apply from the College of Science. A majority of them do, but we do have students who are applying to medical school from across our campus. In fact, every college on campus has had students apply to medical school over the last 12 or 13 years. Our numbers compare to national numbers reasonably well. Nationally, just over half of the students who apply to medical school are majors in the life sciences at Weber State. That would be microbiology or zoology. We have just a little bit under that, and I believe that some of that comes from the fact that our biochemistry department is housed in a physical science department, chemistry, at Weber State. Nationally, not very many students, about 3%, apply from, quote, other pre-health majors, but we have a large percentage of those at Weber State owing to our very strong medical laboratory science and athletic therapy programs. At Weber State, we also have a larger number of students who are applying from the humanities. The majority of those are actually foreign language students who have been on LDS missions and having served an LDS mission in a country where a foreign language is spoken. For those students, they tend to pursue foreign language degrees, and so we have about 17% of our students who are humanities majors. So giving you the breakdown nationally, I'm giving you numbers from 2016. The 2017 medical application cycle ended yesterday, so we haven't had an opportunity yet to crunch the numbers, so I'm giving you numbers that are a year old. But in 2016, over 51,000 students applied to medical school across the country. We had 606 from Utah, and in 2016, 35 of those were from Weber State. You can see that about 21,000 students matriculated to medical school, and that represents about 41% of those who apply to medical school. So just under half of the students who apply actually get accepted. You can see that the Utah's numbers are about 33% of students who are accepted, and Weber State was above the national average at 48.6% of those who applied ultimately were accepted to medical school in 2016. While our acceptance rates in 2016 were slightly above the national average, historically Weber State has typically done pretty well. The percentage of students who have been accepted to medical school over the last 13 years has hovered between 40 and 45%, and so that's what that white line represents. And you can see that Weber State's acceptance rates have been above that national average in all but one of the past 13 years. Our average over that 13-year span is about 62.3%, so that's significantly above the national average, and we're pretty proud of that. We believe that at least part of that is because of the quality time that we're able to devote to our students. The Ezekiel R. Dumke Family Pre-Medical Professional Program is funded by an endowment from the Dr. Ezekiel R. Dumke family, and that allows us to spend a significant amount of time with our students. We have bi-monthly information sessions. We have one-on-one advising times, and I've just put some numbers up there. That represents the number of meetings that I personally have had with students since the beginning of this calendar year. I have application meetings that provide information about the medical school application. I have a panel interview with each of our applicants every year that lasts more than an hour. And I also assist students personally with the selection of medical schools to which students are applying to try to match their interests with the philosophies of the medical schools that they're applying. We also at Weber State have a number of other entities that support us, the Center for Community Engaged Learning, the Office of Undergraduate Research and Career Services, who help us by doing mock interviews with our students who ultimately end up going on to interview at medical schools. But we're not the only ones who work hard. Our students also work hard. They are master jugglers. You can see that this juggler here seems to be a little distraught that he might drop one of the balls that he has in the air, and I'm sure that our students feel like that sometimes as well. But they actually do quite a good job of it. I'm sure that some of the folks in the audience have attended medical school or other professional training school recently, so I'd like, and you all know what it takes to get into medical school, but I'd like to just focus my words here briefly to those of you who may have attended medical school a bit more distant in the past to remind you what it actually takes for our students to get accepted to medical school. So a lot of what our students are required to do actually is dictated by what the University of Utah requires of their applicants. The University of Utah is a school to which the majority of our students apply. So this is a lot of words on this slide, but I just want to highlight that each of the bolded topics, volunteer service, leadership, hypothesis-driven research, patient exposure, and physician shadowing, are all things that are required by the University of Utah in order for a student to be offered an interview. And in fact, instead of just listing those things and saying, hey, every student applicant has to participate in each of these things, the University of Utah has dictated a minimum number of hours that students must engage in these activities. So students have to engage in volunteer service for 100 hours at minimum. They have to have at least 3 leadership experiences. They have to have at least 1 semester-long research experience. They have to have 24 hours of patient exposure, and they have to have 24 hours of physician shadowing. I've also added the numbers on this slide of the average number of hours last year that our students, Weber State students, have done. And you can see that our Weber State students are those master jugglers. They have superseded every one of those averages in 2016, so 370 hours of volunteer service, 5.4 leadership experiences, 252 hours of research, 1,600 hours of patient exposure, and 73.4 hours of physician shadowing. So they do quite a good job of balancing their academics with their co-curricular engagement. It's not only their work, but I also have you all to thank for that. There are so many things that our local clinical practitioners help us out with, and some of those are listed here. We are able to offer a life in medicine class that was co-developed and in fact is co-taught every spring semester by Drs. Bob Mosinger and Dave Goff, and we very much appreciate their generosity to take their time in order to do that. And I know some of you have also participated because they've tapped you to come visit that class at 7:30 on Thursday mornings. We also have a spouses night. A large number of our students are married when they go off to medical school, and they want their spouses to be prepared. So you all have been generous enough to not only devote your time, but also volunteer the time of your spouses to come speak to our students and talk about what it's like to be the spouse of a medical student or a resident. We hold multiple mini interviews. The interview process for medical school has changed, and the majority of medical schools have what they call multiple mini interviews, which means the students will have anywhere from 8 to 12 10-minute interviews back to back to back to back, where they're given scenarios and then they have to talk about what they would do in a specific scenario. And we want our students to have some practice at that. So we have an MMI preparation day that some of our local physicians have volunteered to help us out with. We have a new pre-medical mentoring program that was developed and is being administered by retired surgeon Dr. E.D. Flanders, and we appreciate his help. We have a Medical Academy summer camp that we've held for the last 3 years, and that's upcoming. We're planning for it now, and that's organized by the same people who coordinate the Medical Explorer post, and I know that they've tapped a lot of you to help out with either or both of those things. And we also have the Clinical Preceptor Program, which our students are paired with you all in order to gain that clinical shadowing experience that is required to support their medical school application. I just want to spend a little bit more time on this clinical preceptor program because the majority of the things that are listed on this slide, while we very much appreciate your help with those things, the clinical preceptor program is something that requires a lot more time than just an hour or two. And I want to invite a couple of our Weber State students, Eric Lancaster and Andrea Mencia, who are going to talk about the clinical preceptor program. They've participated in the clinical preceptor program as well as serving as coordinators for this upcoming year's clinical preceptor program. So please welcome them.
Hello, everyone. Hope you're having a good morning. My name is Andrea Mencia, and I am a senior here at Weber State University. As a first-generation college student, I'm often the first person to figure out anything medical school-related because I have no other mentors outside of my family. So this clinical preceptor program was quite literally for me a light across the storm, figuratively speaking, as far as figuring out how to set up my first shadowing experience. Now, I was fortunate enough to be assigned to Dr. Johnny Cook, who is a family practice physician over at Tanner Clinic and is here with us today. And if it weren't for him, I wouldn't have learned about the importance of the physician-patient relationship bedside manner, things like that. So it was a mentoring experience that I might not have had otherwise if it weren't for this program. So as a program coordinator and with Eric Lancaster at my side, we hope to facilitate shadowing experiences for students of all backgrounds in the upcoming semester. I will pass the time on over to him.
So we have put these flyers on everyone's table. It is what we use really to find out who is interested in helping facilitate these experiences for the students here. And like Andrea said, it was one of those experiences that she would have never known how to do if it wasn't for the program. And I just wanted to take a brief moment and thank all the physician mentors that we had this last year. We had Dr. Adam Nebaker, Dr. Mosinger, Dr. Christopher Schell, Dr. Randolph Steifelt, Dr. Jeff Hershey, Dr. David Fedor, Dr. Jeremy Reinard, Dr. Jace Fulmer, Dr. Johnny Cook, and Dr. Wyatt West, who helped a lot of our students this year really understand what it's like to be a physician, and that's stuff that they don't teach us here at Weber State, unfortunately, but with the help of you guys, they're able to get college credit and be able to really see what it's like to be a doctor, and a lot of the times see if it's really something that is worth the wait, and a lot of the times they come back knowing that it is because of the experiences that they have with the doctors out here in the area. So we've put these flyers on everyone's table, and there's some up here at the front. If you're interested in having the students come and shadow you, it does require 40 hours in order for them to get college credit, so it's about 3.5 hours per week. If that's something that doesn't fit into your practice or into your style of practicing, then if you're still interested in having students but not on a 40-hour commitment, there's a box on the bottom that you can mark that says that you're interested, and then we would just add your name to a list of physicians that are willing to have students come and shadow them, but just on a more case-by-case basis, and then they would be able to get that from the pre-medical office.
And like they said, this is a program for which students can earn a college upper division college credit for shadowing 40 hours if students start at the beginning of a semester. That amounts to about 3.5 hours a week. Sometimes students are a little slow to pick up the ball, so they wait a couple weeks into the semester, so it might be up to 4 hours a week. But students are required to keep a record and record in a journal their experiences. They meet with me halfway through the semester, and then they have to write an essay that will accompany their medical school application on the experience. And I also have at the bottom here that because it's a 40-hour long experience, students will likely request a letter of recommendation from a physician mentor to accompany their medical school application. So full disclosure, we realize that this takes a large commitment on your all's part, but it does help so many of our students, especially those students who are first generation who don't have family members or other people that they know who are practicing clinicians. So we thank you very much in advance for your willingness to help with the clinical preceptor program. If you have any questions about the preceptor program and you want to delay filling out that application, in addition to those little forms on the table, Andrea and Eric have also laid some of my business cards on the table, so feel free to reach out to me or Brent Parkin, who is our development officer, and we can work with you to not overload the clinical community here in Ogden. We want to sort of spread the wealth, so to speak. If you're not willing or able to commit 40 hours, I just want to talk about a couple of other initiatives in the last couple of minutes here for which I need your help. In addition to the clinical preceptor program, one of the new things that we'd like to start up is a seminar series. We hope that this will help broaden our students' exposure to your journeys, your paths to medical school, to the specialties that you have. And so Brent Parkin and I are developing this seminar series. We hope to have a clinical practitioner, not all physicians, but physicians, dentists, physician assistants, talk to our students about your experiences preparing for your professional training, undergoing your professional training and your professional practice. If you're interested in doing this, please reach out to me or Brent, and we look forward to working with you to put together a very interesting seminar series this upcoming academic year. And finally, we hope we're in the fledgling stages of developing an advisory board. We feel like we've had some pretty good success with acceptances to medical, dental, other graduate training programs, but of course we can always do better. And if you're interested in helping us move into the future, participating as a member of our advisory board would be very helpful. We expect to have one advisory board meeting each of our academic semesters. We hope to have about a dozen clinical practitioners on that advisory board, and I would look forward to working with any of you in that capacity. So I hope you enjoyed your breakfast. I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference, and thank you very much for your time. Here's our contact information.